All right, welcome everyone to another Cancel the Cabal show. And this is going to go out to all the networks. It's going to go out to peoplesinternetradio.com. It's going to go to PSN Radio. It's going to go to Revolution Radio, and it will go to BBS Radio. I am Stephen Roberts, and I have three very special guests on with me today. First, I have Ella Gareva and Abraham Christie, and I also have David Scherter. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hi.
I have been talking to Ella and Abraham for the last hour and a half with two separate Skype conversations, and I've had David Scherter on the show at least four or five, or I don't know how many, maybe even six times. But David Scherter is a survivor of the Franklin Affair that happened here in America that goes back into at least the 70s and broke in the late 80s. If I'm not mistaken, in 88 or 89, I would have to research that, but it's been a while since I have. Welcome, David, first.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, guys. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, we've had a lot of nice talks, and I've gotten your message out, like I said, at least five or six times. Would you like to preface this introduction with a little bit of your knowledge of Ella and Abraham?
Came across the Hampstead case, I don't know, a year and a half ago. Don't quote me on the date. I watched the video of their two children talking about their abuse, their satanic ritual abuse in a cult in the UK. And the one thing that clued me in on this whole, on these videos, is that these children are so fluid and they're dealing with concepts that they possibly could not understand at their young age if they hadn't experienced it. I, of course, like other people in the world, have been told that their parents, their mother coaxed them, and it was all from their you know, mom, and you know, Abraham and Ella had coaxed these kids. But anybody who has a child who has tried to teach that child lines of a school play knows how hard it is to get them to recite just simple lines, let alone understand concepts that are well beyond their ages.
So basically,
the clue to me on these videos is that what they were saying was not identical to what I went through, but it had so many similarities that there is no way that they could talk about what they were had they not experienced what they were talking about.
So basically, what Ella and Abraham have been experiencing is critiques that are trying to minimize their claims. Is that right, David?
It's just like what happened in the States when we had parents, thousands of parents coming forward, claiming that their children were being satanically ritually abused and raped in their preschools. And the official story from our government was that all of these parents were seeing therapists, and the therapists were feeding them lies.
Coaxing them.
What's happening to Ella and Abraham, especially Ella, is that they dismissed the children's claims as lies and then focused on the mother saying, oh, yes, she must be a mother. And it's the exact, they must have a playbook.
Yes.
Because they do. The exact same thing.
They do have a playbook. It's called the straw man attack, and they attack the messenger because they cannot attack the message. But yes, it is a playbook, and they've been working on that and using this particular little trick, if you want to call it, for a long, long time. It's the same sort of trick that the Zionists use. They will call somebody an anti-Semitic, and if Israel happens to do something very bad like they've been doing for the last 70 plus years, all the Zionists have to do is just call you an anti-Semitic, and it just diminishes your claim.
There are a lot of people out there, Stephen, that aren't aware of the Hampstead case, let alone these videos that the children made. And I know you have a clip So maybe you'd like to play a little bit of the clip so that people can understand, can see for themselves how fluid these children are on the concepts that they are speaking about.
Yes.
It's just a suggestion.
Yes. Well, all right. Let's go ahead and do that then.
So you live with your mum.
Yes.
And do you ever get to see your dad, do you?
My dad, Ricky.
Ricky. Do you ever get to see him?
Every two Saturday, but actually, in fact, he lies to my mum, and he says that he just sees us every two Saturdays.
And do you see him every 2 Saturdays?
That's court orders.
Okay. Do you see him every 2 Saturdays?
Nope. We see him every single day.
Every single day? And how do you do that?
He comes to our school.
Oh, does he? And what does he do at the school?
He does sex to us. He kills babies there.
Right.
We eat babies. We drink their blood.
Okay.
Because this is how we do it. So, like, on Wednesdays is the most special, busiest day, day. And then after, he comes to our school.
Okay. So who drops you off at school in the morning?
My mum.
So you get dropped off at school?
Yes.
When you get dropped off at school, what do you do then?
So then they check if the coast is clear, if my mum's not there or anything around the area.
Okay.
So they go, Mr. Morris, the caretaker, he goes around the school areas and checks if my mum is there or anything, like if the coast is clear.
Right.
And after they call my dad and say that everything's all right, my mum is not there, it's air clear.
How do you know that?
Because they got the number of my dad.
And how do you know that?
Because I heard them talking to my dad. That was exactly my own dad's voice. Exactly.
So where were you when you heard this caretaker speaking
staff
to
room,
dad?
Staff room.
Why were you in the staff room?
Because that's where they do sex to me. They say they get them to a foster home, but they don't. They get the babies or the children, and then they get Miss Marden.
Yeah.
Our nurse in our school, she injects the child or baby in the neck just here, though.
Right, okay. And how do you know that?
Because I saw her doing it.
How did you see her doing it?
Because I saw her in the staff room. She was getting this. So she got this injection, and she done it. So the baby was there. It was just sitting on the table.
Right.
And I was just laughing there. And after she just injected her, and it was just like it was slowly went to sleep. But not like, not just like a thud, not like just fell straight away. They put it because it looked like it was slowly moving down like that.
Right.
Yes, okay. And then after.
So the baby's gone to sleep.
Yes,
and then
after they get put on this bit, they get the baby, they hang it upside down.
And hang
yes, with
down.
The string.
From where?
On a wall, because there's is a screw, and they put a string, it's like a circle string, tie it to the legs, hang it upside down, and then they get the knife they use for cutting the baby's head off. So, you know those big ones, like this big Chinese ones, which you chop up coconut and stuff.
Right.
Yes, they get cleavers, aren't they? No.
Okay.
I don't know what they're called.
You've described it well enough.
Yes.
Okay.
So then, because our dad, he forces me and Gabriel to do it. But because we can't, we're not strong enough to cut the baby's head off, he tells us to hold the knife, and he puts his hand at the top of our hand, and he helps us to cut the baby's head off. Because he's learning, he's teaching me and Gabriel, so when we're older, to do it to our own children and do this kind of stuff to our own children.
Where is it this that happens?
The church, the kitchen in our church.
The kitchen in the church.
Yes, they got the baby up.
Right, okay.
And Papa and me,
They
hold either me or Gabriel. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay, I've sort of got that faded out there now. We can... No, that's okay. We can continue on from here. That is your daughter, obviously, Ella, correct?
Yes.
Well, I know that...
Alisa,
okay. Yeah, the actual big... Your the biggest criticism against you and your daughter is that that you coached your daughter to say these things, correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Well, normally when, you know, a child or anybody is coached to do something, unless they have been coached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, you know, they would not be that descriptive and that fluid in their explanations. But
that's right.
She was just as fluid as if she lived these things, lived these events.
She did live these events, and she's still living it now. She's back in the clutches of the cult, we know that the father was seeing them regularly unsupervised, and I suspect he's now taking them out of this foster family they're supposed to be living in.
The father, is he your ex-husband or your ex-partner?
Ex-partner, yes.
Okay.
And we know that he takes them, that this school is still performing infants' sacrifices and forcing children to participate in those practices.
Okay. We did only hear just a little bit over 4 minutes. 4 minutes of this interview here. Who is the man doing the interview?
There were a few interviews. Well, Abraham, my partner, he's here. The interview of the child. Steve Martin. It's an inspector, DC Steve Martin, Masonic policeman. We know that he's a member of the Masonic Lodge in the same area. And at the time of the interview, of course, we didn't know. And he's the one interviewing children.
Do you believe he's a part of this cult?
Children did not name him as a member of this cult. However, we suspect he is. Because in fact-finding, which I was prevented to participate, the fact-finding hearing, which happened in February, where the judge came to the conclusion that me and Abraham coach children and torture them into these confessions, we learn from those the transcripts that Steve Martin knew some of the members of the cult, which Alisa talked about in this interview.
What is this cult called?
Children did not say that. They said that their father is a leader of some strange culture, some say strange religion. That's how Gabriel, my son, has described that.
They don't really know the name of the cult, though?
No, they never said what it was.
Is not uncommon, Stephen.
Right.
I can't tell you the name of the cult that I was raised by.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of talk here lately, David, and at least last year, about a cult called the Ninth Circle, I believe. I just wonder if there's any kind of indication if these people are involved with this.
There is a site out there that I posted on my blog, davidstreeter.com, that has basically asked Michael Aquino anything. And he brings up this ninth, or this cult of nine, or I don't understand what it is. But Aquino is obviously very connected to this. To people who don't know who Michael Aquino is, he was my main handler. He's a Luciferian that set up Temple of Set. He was head of the NSA in America and has been named as a child abuser. Not only in the Presidio case, which was in San Francisco, directly named in the Presidio case, but he has been named to be involved throughout most of this activity in America. And I just want to say one thing about this judge that Ella is having to face. She did an 11-day investigation. and came to the conclusion that there was no indication of any wrongdoing on the accused. And my question is, in America, when people investigate pedophile groups, it not only takes months, but it also includes teams of people. So how did this woman do such a thorough investigation in less than 2 weeks all by herself and come to this conclusion? It seems highly suspect, especially when you consider the fact that the information has just come out now that the UK has conveniently deleted the database of all the evidence they had on all the pedophile groups in the UK.
Yep.
And this coincides with what's going on in Hampstead. And it's not just Hampstead. There are other people, yep, especially mothers, who are being attacked for coming and saying the same exact things,
yep,
that Ella is coming forth, you know, and what her children are saying. And so she's, yep, not... If people, well, think she's the only one, she's by far not the only one.
Yeah.
Just, well, like the thousands of parents who are in America who are coming forward claiming the same types of abuse on their children were not, there wasn't one, there were thousands of parents coming forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, it's always like a broken record. They are working on a kind of a script. They always have the same type of argument when one of them gets caught doing something. The cameras always seem to malfunction. A guard always seems to mysteriously fall asleep or is not in his place. You know, they always have an out. And judges and so-called government officials are always giving them this out.
When you consider the fact that in America, people are arguing that it's rogue judges who just gave us gay marriage, how come Mrs. Palfrey isn't looked at as a rogue judge? What sets her apart that she couldn't be bought off? I mean, obviously this 11-day investigation, I mean, what did she do? Was there any forensics done? Were the claims looked at? Did the look at the cell phone records of any of these people to ascertain if they were there?
Yeah, well, I mean,
none of this was done.
Yeah, just look at the, let's just take September 11th, 2001 for an example, David. Initially, they weren't even going to investigate it. And then after a bunch of, you know, cattle prodding, they said, all right, we're going to give you about $400,000 to investigate September 11th, 2001, the so-called terrorist attacks. And then after more outcrying and screaming, they finally come up with $4 million. They spent $50 million to investigate Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky scandal, David. They cherry pick and choose what they are going to investigate. So they have that out.
I've talked to Ella and Abraham for several hours on Skype, and I think it's interesting to hear their story of exactly what Ella has gone through since these allegations have come out and what kind of scourge she's had to face from officials going after her and the fact that she's had to run to protect herself in order to get this information out. Why are they going after a mother of kids who are saying they're being abused?
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to go ahead and get into now. Ella, what actually have you been? Actually, Ella, let's go back to the start. When did you learn that your children were starting to be abused?
Right. Well, we learned about what's been going on with the children in the school during the family holidays in Morocco. They've been spotted touching each other intimately. And it's been suspected for quite a while, but during holidays, it's less, you know, less space. Children are always there. You can see them. It's not they are like, you know, doing something in their room or, so We learned that they're touching each other, and they disclosed it was their father who told them that.
Okay, Ella.
And that's how it started.
Ella, can you just reiterate that again, please? Your son and your daughter were caught touching each other?
Yes, Alice and Gabriel, they were touching each other and intimately. Okay. And Abraham saw that.
Okay.
But we suspected for quite a while. And about 2 years prior to this incident, I have caught them filming each other. Gabriel was filming Alisa with her panties down, and in the bathroom for only 1 minute. But that's happened, and it's alerted me to something that I'm not aware of in the children's life. And also their aggressiveness, their increasing aggressiveness, really violence. And of course, at the time, I had no clue what this violence was caused by. They were always coming distorted from the school. And also after seeing their father, that's why I... When their father now claiming on BBC, for example, in BBC interview, he's saying that... it's all about the contact. Well, in fact, it's true to the degree, because at some point when I realized that children coming back from seeing him in a disastrous situation, I started to to tighten up the contacts. You know, I didn't want them long, and so on. But the in the UK. We have family secret family courts, and this is how they contain this information from going up into public arena.
They prevented it from becoming a criminal case. This case should have been tried in a criminal court. They managed to keep it within these family courts, and in this way they were able to control the narrative. And the judge, Palfrey, when she'd made her verdict for the cult, she gave the information. The media, the mainstream media, already had the story, and they let out the cult story that the children had been coached and that we had tortured. She said torture was too strong a word, but it was the only word she could use to describe. So this is what they did. They managed the perception of the public, and they put out this story to the mainstream media by keeping the case in a family court. And that way they avoided going into a criminal court and having a criminal trial. And this is why they wouldn't arrest me. They wouldn't arrest a father, because they didn't want a criminal. They say, oh, they accuse us of torturing the children. Well, then arrest us, for goodness sake. If I know that someone's tortured children, I'll arrest them. Now, so they couldn't arrest anybody in this case, because that would have meant a criminal trial. And then it would be clearly seen by the public that there'd been no investigation. So they kept it within the family courts. And that's why now their story is beginning to seep out into the public domain.
Yes. Well, a lot of us know, Abraham and Ella, that many of the so-called court systems are actually illegitimate and illegal, and also unlawful. Many of these these people that are claimed to be judges are never sworn in. They don't swear to any constitution, or they don't swear to a Bible. They actually just run on their own rules, and they can make them up on the fly. A lot of these things that they call laws are totally illegal, totally unlawful, and totally immoral. What is this judge's name again, please? Or do you actually...
It's Puffley, Dame Anna Puffley. And you're right completely. That's what we experience here in our case, that the judge and the other judges, consecutive judges, were making rules as they got, as they went. Sorry? And they perverted all of them, starting from the police, who concealed the crucial evidence of the very first disclosure of the children. After we came back from Morocco, where children disclosed it to us, and we made those short films that went on online in February this year. Then the next, the first policeman, it was Abraham's brother-in-law who recorded the children. It was 3 hours interview, and this evidence being concealed at the unknown location in Chinguinhe by the police, who then suggested that this case is which could have been a criminal matter, or should have been. To his opinion, is actually a matter of family court. So from the beginning, they transferred this case to the family court as a family affair, as a battle over the custody for the children. But in fact, I already had custody by the court 3 years prior to this point. So they're lying to the public. Just like that, and this was been going on in the court. You know, they lied all along. They twisted the law. They stopped contacts with my children lawfully. There was no order stating that I now cannot see my children or children cannot see me. They just cancel the contacts. They cancel the contacts for my family. Or for anyone who's been in the children's life before, apart from the father, of course, who now has unlimited access to the children, I would imagine. Unrestricted access, yeah.
Unrestricted access. Okay. Yeah. I don't believe I asked you earlier, but I will ask right now anyways. Do you believe that your ex-partner is a member of this cult?
I believe my children. And I believe what my children are saying is true.
So he more than likely is?
He is. He definitely is.
Okay.
Why children would come with such a story? I mean, this whole question about coaching is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anybody who listens to the children have no doubt that they're saying the truth. Why otherwise? First of all, the saying we coached, why? What are them? Are our motives? Why the judge never investigated those motives? Why we never been interviewed by the police or by anyone?
Yeah, yeah. How many schools are involved? Did you say seven? Mm-hmm. Seven schools?
The children said 7 or 8 schools. They couldn't give a specific number.
Okay.
But from the information they were disclosing, it's our feeling that this thing is going on across the whole of the UK.
How old were your children when this started happening then, Ella?
In school or
what
in their lives?
Yes. What age did they reveal that this started happening?
Well, what children are saying is that their father started to sexually abuse them when they were little babies, like 1-2 years old.
Okay.
And then there was a pedophile ring, where he took them on those allocated Saturdays, which court assigned to him. So he was taking them there, and it was sadistic apes who were sadistically raping children. They were producing children pornography movies and snuff movies. And this is how I believe Diamon, their biological father, who the leader of this cult, has started his career. And then at 5 years old, Alisa started school. Then Gabriel joined him. They're 1 year apart only, 14 months. And the so-called satanic ritual abuse started to manifest. And with the human sacrifices and the children being raped with plastic. When we ask why plastic willies, dildos, well, children say it, calling it plastic willies. And I understand enormous size. And so children bled after this experience. and they've been giving baby wipes to wipe their bottoms. And I just recently been asked a question, well, how could I not see that? Well, in fact, I did not see it. Their panties, which I wash, they're always clean, apart from Gabriel. Gabriel was always a bit dirty, and I thought, Gabriel, what, don't you wipe your bottoms? And, you know, so I was reminding him, you know, to do that. But it's still been happening, and I still, it wasn't that many times, but it didn't really alerted me, but that's what's been going on. And what else?
Well,
I feel I deviated from the question, no?
No, you've addressed a lot of the question there,
Steven?
Yes.
I want to make the point that the Hampstead case is not the only case that has come out like what Ella. So if people are thinking, oh, this is just one case, let me bring up the case of Holly Gregg, whose daughter, a Down syndrome child who was
yes.
discredited, saying that she was being satanically ritually abused.
Yes.
Even though she had an STD.
Yes.
It was all written off as a hoax. Vicky Haig is living outside the UK, lost her daughter. There was also a pedophile ring recently busted in Norwich with some jail terms, but the satanic ritual part of the abuse was downplayed and left out.
Yes.
We can't forget the whistleblower Melanie Shaw, who is a child's home abuse survivor who witnessed murders and also lost her child over when she came out and forward and was falsely imprisoned and now is about to lose her home. Ben Fellows was harassed and imprisoned for whistleblowing, although he was recently exonerated in Old Bailey, but now is claiming that he's being severely harassed, that he's in fear for his life.
Yeah.
And Holly and Anne have been driven into hiding, and all of their supporters went to prison.
Yeah.
So as people are listening to Ella talk about her children, I just want everyone to realize she is not alone. She is
right.
One of many who are coming forward, who are being attacked, harassed,
yes.
imprisoned, and have to run because they're protecting the accused and they're going after the whistleblowers.
Yes.
Well, so, sorry, I just wanted to jump in so that I could, you know.
No, you're okay.
Okay.
No, you're okay. You know, the psychological term that keeps coming up time and time and time and time again is cognitive dissonance. And for any one or two people on this planet that don't actually know what that means is, just because you or I would not do that to someone, another human being, that doesn't mean that someone else won't do that to another human being. People, a lot of the times, are not capable of looking outside their little comfort zone. I'm sorry, Ella, is there some kind of a noise going on in the background there, or?
No, that's the fire burning away. It's fine.
Ah, okay, okay.
So the microphone's picking it up.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's quite loud. But, you know, just because someone, the average mom or dad, doesn't have this happen to them, that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And that's my point. Ella, please continue. What were your feelings when you first noticed your children play acting sexually with each other?
Well, that alone was a shock. And then each day they were revealing more information and more. And this whole time, I think this is during the period of 3 weeks, it was like a living nightmare. And you're living this nightmare and you think it's going to stop, but it doesn't. It just gets worse each day. And everybody gets stressed, and we hardly slept. And when we learned that the father was making children to kill me for 2 years before that. And
they were grooming, you mean?
Huh?
They were grooming your children?
Well, he was telling them to kill me. For 2 years,
okay.
What that's what children saying. And then when Abraham became part of our family, he was telling them to kill one of us or both of us.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The agency over here in America is called Child Protective Services, or CPS. What is it called over there in?
It's called Social Services.
Social Services. Did you immediately call the social services over there?
We actually reported to the police because we believed that was number one. It was a criminal matter, and on the 5th of September last year.
So the next,
just day after we came back to the UK from the holidays.
So the Guardia immediately had to call the social services. That's correct.
But services are interconnected. They're working together. They're working together to kidnap the children, and that's what happened in Alisa and Gabriel's case.
And what year or how long ago has it been since your children were taken away from you?
Sorry?
When was it?
They were 9/11. That's the day.
9/11/2014.
So just over a year ago then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen them since then?
I've seen them several times, but majority of the contacts been sabotaged or cancelled. And the last time I've seen them was January.
Okay.
They keep the children incommunicado for fear of them revealing more.
Well, certainly.
More of the cult there, more of the cult information.
Certainly. And your ex-partner is certainly trying to poison their minds against you right now.
Yeah,
of course. Really.
That's the that's the normal procedure that goes on, and it happens over
they're
here.
They're not only trying to poison the children's mind, but they're trying to poison the world's minds against Ella. And I just want to point out, listening to Ella, that you can feel the emotion in her voice. Anyone who's listening to this conversation can feel the emotion and the truth of this woman, and with regards to her kids. And to say that she's lying or that all of this is bogus, it is to stick your head in the sand so far that, you know, it's obvious, just as we've watched those videos of those children, she also speaks in such a fluid manner and with such emotion that you can't escape the truth of what she's saying.
Okay. I just wanted to add, do you have... are you going to name your ex-partner's name, or do you want to leave that out?
His name is Ricky Dierman.
Okay, I just actually went to a link, and your ex-partner, Ricky Dierman, is a actor, isn't he?
He's aspiring actor, I would
aspiring
say.
Aspiring actor, okay.
With a criminal background, may I add.
And child pornographer. And snuff movie producers. And money launderer, and organ trafficker, and child rapist.
Well, millions of people don't even believe that organ trafficking.
And of course, serial murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
The very type of individual you want your kids living with on a daily basis.
I know that was a bit of a joke there, David, but I do understand where you're going there. Unfortunately. A lot of people are beginning to realize that the people that are into the entertainment system, whether it be aspiring or actual movie stars or television stars, are into a lot of the same things. They're into pedophilia, they're into the occult, and they're into the esoteric, the satanic, and it all seems to go hand in hand, unfortunately. Did the equivalent of the police, did they actually investigate anything except for this little bit of a, interview of your daughter that we happened to, see?
Yes, it was a good luck actually, these DVDs, it's a luck that I happen to have it. Otherwise, nobody will know. We will know all the truth. Yeah, but this is the only two.
Can you explain how you got how you received the police videos? How were you able to get it, and the McKenzie friends able to put it out into public domain?
Well, let me go into something which I was going to say. Sorry, I got distracted then. Stephen, would you repeat your question again, please?
How much of an investigation was initially...
Investigation, yeah. There was no investigation. They opened the case on the 5th. The day children were interviewed, and the same day they concealed the evidence. So there was on the 10th of September, six policemen and social workers attended my house uninvited and were insisting to come in the house and see the children. So I did not want to let them in, but then we thought that we will talk, and I had some other people in the house, and we believed in the good policemen. We believed in that there is justice, and that's why we went down this route. And so we were invited for the second interview, and we haven't seen children since. And apart from their, the police went to the church. I think after children were taken. However, the school was already alerted. In fact, on the 10th of September, the headmistress, who children fight against and who has enormous port wine birthmark on her bibenda and tattoos and piercing.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
This woman was actually present at the strategy meeting between police and social services. I mind you, it's only 5th day of the investigation.
This woman is in the cult?
Sorry?
This woman is with the cult?
She's a headmistress of the school.
Okay, so she is probably one
she's
of the...
A high, no, she is a high member.
High member
ranks,
of the cult,
by
yes.
The way, were designated by the color, those plastic dildos or plastic willies. So they had, it was like a hierarchy of the members.
Okay, yeah.
And some high members are linked directly to our government, to David Cameron, to his brother, who is involved in money laundering schemes.
Wow, okay. Don't you...
I also want to point out that the same school that these children were attending, there is a case about a teacher in Hampstead, in this Hampstead school, who sexually abused a 9-year-old girl that they allowed to get off scot-free. And so this school that these children are attending has a history of the teachers sexually abusing the children.
We can't be sure. David? Hello?
Okay.
We can't be sure if it's the same school because they didn't disclose the name of the school when they published the trial information.
But it's the same area, of London. And it's not such a big area either. It's one of the most expensive area for the affluent people.
It's the most affluent area.
There are judges. There are movie producers. There are all the financial elite living in this area.
They're protected. Yeah. All of the protected people.
And looks like people of this area are doing this.
Another strange aspect of that particular incident you mentioned, that trial of the teacher who was convicted of abusing a 9-year-old girl or charged with him, was that he was represented. He was very leniently dealt with by the judge, as he was supported in court by 20 members of 20 parents, or I think that's the number, or the parents of 20 families. Went into court to speak on his behalf. So I also got there of 20 special families
in our case,
in this particular case. So there are some
similarities.
Yeah, there's some connection there. There would appear to be some type of connection, but we cannot be 100% sure.
Don't you?
The connection between Hampstead and Omaha, Nebraska, and the people who abused me. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I just read an article. Hampstead is full of the super rich. These people in Hampstead are well funded with lots and lots of money. And so there is a lot of money to keep this. And the people who are involved in these abuse, in this abuse, is much like it was with me. They are all very rich and very powerful.
Very
high up.
Very affluent, yes. Don't you, do you also want to reveal where it might possibly lead, other than the British government?
Well, this is due to our own research. We learned this about this link. Children never disclosed that, but they described into great details what's been going on about the activity and who is involved. They gave a lot of names, and the police, the local police, and the police in the neighborhood area is involved. They were performing the sacrifices in McDonald's, in the secret kitchen in McDonald's.
In the industrial kitchen.
Children being abused in it seemed to be like a special meeting place, a pool. Lido swimming pool,
a Finchley Lido
pool, where they were hanging out, raping children there, and performing sacrifices. So none of those locations been ever investigated. None of the named perpetrators of this crime have ever been interviewed. No mobile been seized, no computers been seized. Dieman himself been invited for only one interview, where he was free to type of interview where he was free to go at any moment. And while he was interviewed, police received a medical report from a doctor with 24 years experience, confirming the her findings confirmed children allegations that they were abused with blunt force instruments. And not only her, there was a team of doctors who assessed the children, and they twice confirmed children's allegations. Nevertheless, one of the policemen, one of the leading detectives, he changed the quote of the doctor and said that instead of possible abuse. And also provided his own explanation of that it was caused by heart pull.
Okay.
This is the type of investigation we're talking about. And that's it. And then children were forced into partial retraction. And still during this retraction, the videos are all online to view this, that they're still trying to tell the truth. Gabriel seven times confirms that the baby were killed seven times in this so-called retraction interview, and then he just gave up, because they most likely said they're not gonna see their mom again. And so they only retracted this one particular point, where all other points were outstanding. And that's gave them a basis to close the case, the criminal case, and transfer it to the secret family court.
Not only do Ella is actually one of the fortunate ones. There is a nurse by the name of Carol Myers who came out talking about her satanic family, who ended up dead. And Hampstead, in a very short period of time, had a slew of deaths. A Polish bar worker, a young Jewish man, a doctor, a writer, a photographer, and that's just a few. So people were actually coming forward, speaking about this cult, and much like what happened in Omaha, when everyone who was involved with Franklin was... all the gay men who were involved in the lifestyle and were involved with Alan Bear, they all, there was a rash of suicides in Omaha in 86, where all of these people committed suicide by wrapping plastic around their face. And so they not only go after the parents of and all of the whistleblowers, but anybody who comes forward to actually give credence to what these claims are, they're all ending up dead. I mean, and since they're all connected to this, that's a big coincidence right there. You know, that's a huge coincidence.
Well, it's not really a coincidence. You know, I can give you another example, David. Well over 100 witnesses back in 1963 that saw the Kennedy murder met a terrible demise within 4 to 6 months of giving their testimony to the FBI. So that's, you know, that's part of their modus operandi, their playbook, David.
And that's the reason why, if there's anybody out there listening who wonders what we can do, we can all support Ella and Abraham in trying to get this out and make sure that they're protected, because I have stated over and over and over in my blog, we've been here before. Numerous times we've been here before with the accusations of satanic ritual abuse. But this case right here, these Hampstead children right here, is the very case that could bring down this house of cards. And so our focus should not be one to discredit the kids, to call Ella a liar and dismiss the whistleblowers. We all need to get involved and start voicing our dissent at what's happening here. And we need to do it now, because there's a custody battle coming up in February where Ella, and if it goes with how it works in the States, they usually give the children back to the person who's being accused of pedophilia. And if we don't want this to happen and continue happening, this is the very case we could get involved with. This is the very thing we could start demanding justice with. In many ways, as horrible as this case is, for me, having been involved with this as long as I have, this case is a godsend. Because the facts of this case are indisputable. And you watch these children talk about their abuse, and as you're listening to this interview with Ella right now, you can hear the truth of what is being said. You know, you can hear a mother's concern for her children. And if we turn away from this case, we are not only being complicit. A really very intelligent man used that term today that he just gave to me. And so we are being complicit. And I don't think any of us are comfortable being complicit with this evil. We have to make a stand. And we have a chance to do that with Ella, who's trying to protect her children. Ella and Abraham are just trying to help these kids. And they're not bad people. That there are people who found themselves in very bad situations who are going up against some very rich, affluent people who are doing some atrocious things. And they're not alone, but they stand as a turning point for all of us. And if we don't take a stand, and we don't support these children, and we don't support Ella, we're not only letting ourselves down, we're not only letting these children down, we're not only letting this mother who loves her kids and cares about her kids down, we're turning our faces away from God. And if any of us are comfortable with that, then so be it, go ahead. But I personally am not going to turn away from this, and I don't think anybody else should do it either. And I know there are plenty of people who are listening to this conversation who aren't willing to turn away either. And so I just ask that everybody do anything you can to get this information out there. You know, it's not just these children. These children are a figurehead of what's happening to myriads of children everywhere, not only in the UK, but in the United States, all over the world. And this is our chance to actually stand and be counted and make a difference. And to do so is folly, as far as I'm concerned. Sorry, I'm just jumping in on my little soapbox.
You're okay, David. Ella, I want to ask you, you have dealt with the court system over there. Have they accused you of trying to alienate your children against their father?
Well, that's how he did. Well, the court didn't, but he did. He did it all along.
Okay. Do you know of a term called parental alienation syndrome?
No,
I've heard about it, but I'm not so acquainted with the.
Well, it's based on junk science that some psychologist quite a few years back more or less invented to give these pedophile rings more power in the family court system, and they have gained more power with this junk science. What it actually means is parental alienation syndrome is the one parent allegedly poisons the mother or father, in this case, of being a abuser.
Yeah. No, he did. He said it all along that I'm the one who is abusive part in this story, and I'm trying and I'm preventing the access to the children, where even children were scared and terrorized into keeping this a secret. I felt something was terribly wrong with the children, and they would not talk. I've seen Alisa was increasingly getting unhappy and cold and cynical, and I tried to talk to her. Well, I talked to her, but she would make it like, you know, nothing. And Gabriel was he's suffered arrested development, and he started to develop sort of like a glaze of his eyes.
Emotionally arrested development.
Like, you know, like a kind of like a glaze, you know, as if you're there, but you're not there. And
okay.
It's kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of like an energetic fog over his eyes. And that was very concerning.
Well, maybe he's going through emotional shock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would imagine it would be shock for many people to hear the story and to hear the children talking. And I encourage everyone to not to listen to us, but go on to listen to the story and decide for themselves. You know, what the children are saying is true, and research into the matter and learn that this is going on on such a scale that you would never be able to imagine is true. It's likely going in your block, in your neighborhood, in your little town, in the United States, in Europe, and this is going everywhere. And we're deeply involved in this case, and we're learning more and more. And this situation is just I'm just praying for the people to wake up and not end up like my children.
How much,
Ella? One of the most damning aspects of this situation, it shows the truth of what these children are speaking about, is that they can describe tattoos and birthmarks concerning their abuser's privates, which the only way they could know that these people have birthmarks or tattoos on their privates is if they saw their privates. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of this case and try to explain to us how your children are able to talk about birthmarks and tattoos on people's privates without having seen them, which is basically what they're saying? How would your children know that what their abusers' privates look like unless they've seen their privates?
Of course, and they're trying to say the court. Well, the official story is saying that we coach them. It means we must have known about all these birthmarks, mole, a five piece size mole on the front private. Well, they call it children saying front private of their school nurse. Or the birthmark on the pubenda of headmistress, or spots on the
oh my gosh, yes,
One teacher, a certain teacher, a Mr. Louis Hollings, who the children allege would take them into the cupboard at the back of the classroom before sodomizing them and telling them to chew on a particular type of sweet. I'm not sure what you call them in America.
It's called refresher. The children call it refresher. So he says to bite on it so it doesn't hurt, it hurts less.
Mint?
To bite on a sweet. No, he just gives them a chewy sweet to bite on and tells them in case it hurts, you know, as he sodomizes them. And the children report that he has spots all over his, you know, on his penis, covering his penis.
How many other children are actually giving these reports of sodomy and
no one else, no other children have
in our case,
in this case, no other children have come out. Although there was a recent case in Norwich where some children were being abused and they were also being forced to drink blood. But what happens is that this cult, they have mechanisms whereby they can send operatives up to the courts to manage the stories and that the news doesn't leak out. They're involved in a lot of crisis management because more and more, as they're victims of their own success, if you will, because as the cult has grown, it's become increasingly difficult to maintain the secret. And this Hampstead case is one of the leaks in the
Ella, Stephen,
can I just jump in one second? For those listeners out there who are thinking, oh, well, if they're the only kids and there's no other kids, let me point out to everyone that I didn't come out about my abuse until I was an adult, because it is terrifying as a child. It's not only terrifying, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. And everyone who's involved with this, especially in the UK, is watching what is happening to Ella and these whistleblowers who are coming forward. And what we're seeing is such a push to throw these people in jail and ruin their lives. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that even if these parents know, no one's going to say anything, because nobody wants the type of mess that these people are facing to happen to their lives. It's easier to just ignore it and keep going instead of standing up, taking a stand, actually coming forward. And children, I've worked with survivors for years, and many of them, even as adults, don't talk about their abuse because it is so terrifying and so humiliating that you are forced to be put through this, that you just want to pretend that it doesn't happen. And so I don't want anyone out there thinking, oh, well, if there aren't any other kids coming forward, well, there's a reason why there are no kids coming forward. And that's, you know, even if they do come forward and they tell their parents are watching what's happening in the UK right now with everyone who comes forward. And if you were a parent watching this case and seeing what's happened to Ella and Abraham with this, chances are there are parents who are telling their children, stay quiet, don't say anything, because they're afraid that the same things are going to happen to them, you know, that their lives are going to be uprooted and destroyed, and they're going to end up facing all of these legal fees, and they're going to go through all of this chaos, and they want to prevent that. And so don't for a moment think that these two children are the only two children who are being singled out in Hampstead. There's a reason why other people haven't come forward. And when you look at the situation in its full scope, you can understand why parents are afraid to come forward. The same things happening to Ella and Abraham is the very same thing that happened to the thousands of parents who came forward in the 80s in America claiming their children were being abused. It's the exact same situation. And like you said, you know, Stephen, they have a playbook, and they follow that playbook to a T, and they destroy the whistleblowers and try to silence them. And it has been very effective for quite some time.
Yes, it has. I just wanted to say to everyone, Ella, Abraham, and David, I've only got about 10 minutes left here, and unfortunately, we would have to start up another interview and another show on another time if that would be okay. Is that going to be okay with everyone? I know we are just scratching the surface of this scandal and this this incident here. Abraham, I would like to know what your part has been over this last 14 months. What part have you actually played?
What part have I played? Well, I met the children at a raw food a nutritional event I was attending, and we were attracted. We were immediately hit it off. But as I got to know them, it was obvious that something was wrong, and their behavior was too. There was something definitely dysfunctional, you know, terribly dysfunctional in their behavior, and it was obvious that they were being troubled. That something was troubling them. And I asked Gabriel if, you know, if somebody was hurting him. And he was hesitant before he answered. And there were just many signs. And I saw them touching the family pet dog. I suspected they were possibly touching each other. They were very high. They were extremely aggressive towards one another. Most of the time they were quite loving and playful. But then sometimes they would just explode. And the level of violence was...
I'm imagining.
You know, it's shocking. It's shocking for children that age. It was shocking. But yes, when we were on holiday in Morocco, I saw them touching each other, and I asked them where they'd learnt that behaviour. You know, who'd been teaching them that? And they just, you know, it just seemed like we just caught the correct moment. They'd begun to trust me, and you know, we'd begun to get on fine. You know, they'd begun to trust me, and they just begun disclosing. But even I, with my almost 60 years on the planet and my experience, even I wasn't prepared for the full disclosures. I wasn't prepared for this level of the level of evil that the children have disclosed.
What initially went through your mind when you saw that behavior, Abraham?
When I saw the behavior, which behavior? When I saw them touching each other?
Yes.
Nothing. I didn't think it was right for an eight-year-old boy and a nine-year-old to be see, incest isn't it, you know, we don't accept incest in my family, and you know, so it's a different culture for me. So for me to see a brother and a sister touching each other intimately, I found something wasn't quite right. So I asked them where they'd learned, you know, because where they'd learned that behavior.
Yeah. When did you Abraham, when did you first meet Ella?
It was only 4 months prior to this to the children's disclosures.
Okay, and neither of them were showing any of these signs, Ella?
He said, "Were the children showing any of these signs?" He said,
"No, of course they were. They were showing signs. It's just I was not equipped to read those signs." I grew up in the environment in Russia where pedophilia is practically non-existent. So I'm absolutely unfamiliar with this. Well, I know what the term means, but with this phenomena, I would say. So it was. I would think anything but that. And I was blaming myself for maybe not giving more love to them. I was blaming myself, so I did not see what was obvious to Abraham.
It was pretty obvious to me because I was born and bred in the UK. I was fortunate to have a pretty decent education, but I was a bit of a rebel, and I spent a lot of my youth in correctional facilities and in prison. And I'd come across some rather
seedy characters.
Some dangerous characters, sociopaths and psychopaths and murderers. One in particular, Dennis Nielsen. He lived in my local area in Highgate, Crouch End, Muswell area. And he was a serial murderer that I met in jail. And so, you know, when I started to become accustomed, you know, how could I say, get to know the father, I first heard his voice. And there was something about his voice on Skype which might seem strange to some people, but this, there, you know, I felt a lack of empathy. Something wasn't right, and I felt Something was insincere, totally insincere in his voice. I don't know what it was, but I just felt uncomfortable. That was added to the other cues that I'd heard from the children. Their aggressive behavior towards each other, the touching the pet dog, their aggression and psychological warfare projected towards myself and other adults. You know, there were just too many signs. And, you know, it was, it was difficult to reconcile the family environment with their mother, with their behavior. And so it was an obvious thing to do, look for an outside source. Of course, their father, you know, might appear to be an obvious source, but
officially they didn't see him. Officially, children did not see him for almost two and a half years. He wasn't there, but he was going to the school
secretly
going to the school.
How long had he been going to the school before?
I think this about this time. About
how long? 1 year? 2 years?
No more. About 1.5 years, I would say definitely.
He's been going secretly to the school.
Ella.
I would also like to point out that the fact that Ella was blaming herself and she didn't know what was going on, this is typical of families who have a parent sexually abusing their children. We've seen it time and time again it's obvious that most parents won't come to the conclusion, oh, my children are being sexually abused. They do what Ella has done. And they start blaming themselves and taking on responsibility. Because there are a lot of families out there who have sexual abuse happening, and the other parent is unaware, either because they can't see it, or they simply do not want to admit that that could possibly be happening to their children. Definitely. And this doesn't make anybody a bad person. Yeah. This is just human nature. This is common. It happens a lot. Yeah. And so, I mean, Ella, don't blame yourself. But what you just said, I mean, there are people out there who are saying, oh, she coaxed her children and this is what she wanted to focus on. And you just pointed out, no, you were blaming yourself at the very beginning. You had no idea what was happening. And this is not atypical. This is more common than not, that the parents who's not involved with the sexual abuse of their children aren't aware that it's going on. They know something's going up, that something's up and something's wrong with their children. But it's almost like we are conditioned not to think that another parent could possibly be involved in such behavior with their own children.
Yeah, David and David, Ella, Abraham, I need to make this my last topic here for this particular interview, this particular show. What is being done to try to rectify this wrong here? Do you have a law firm, or do you have lawyers working on this?
Yeah, we've got a great legal team, an amazing legal team.
Who's also in shock?
Yeah, they're in shock.
What's going on?
Yeah. However, that, you know, the whole judicial system has been brought into disrepute. Not that it wasn't already, but due to this case, they have caught publicly
complicit,
lying. They've been shown to be complicit in the cover up of this case. You see, when these leaks happen, when mothers discover that this is happening to their children, and they seek justice. What happens is a mechanism that they have, almost a conveyor belt, an MO, a blueprint, if you will, for dealing with these cases. They get so many. They even have counterintelligence operatives to pop the ones that don't get caught in the net.
Or psychologists are working with the court.
They have a complete mechanism to take control of these cases. But in this particular case, this appears to be their black swan, as it were. It seems that this is the case that is exposing the loopholes, because they became so arrogant and complacent in their handling of that they expected this case to just be swept under the rug as has been done with
other priests.
Because due to Dylan's filmed testimonies having been
and
leaked.
And their courage.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah, their courage. But due to the testimonies of their courage having been leaked onto the internet by one of the counterintelligence operatives working the case in an attempt to Ella and have her locked up for harassment. That was, you know, that was a whole plan, that plan that they cooked up because they do it regularly.
Yeah.
They do it regularly, and this is why cases like these don't often come into the public domain.
Yes.
But they've further implicated them to cover up the sloppy handling of the case initially. So the initial cover up, because of this, they've had to further incriminate themselves. So now detective constables implicated in the cover up. You've got judges. You've got high court judges. You've got the media.
Government officials and media.
It's,
yes.
It's a bit of a mess. They've made a bit of a hash of this, and it's a go away to turn the children.
So, well, I feel that they are you have some sort of an attack on this Skype, or I have some sort of attack on my Skype because the last minute and a half has been a little bit choppy, but I think Ella, we did forget to. David mentioned you wanted to open with a prayer and close with a prayer. Would you, since we did forget to open with a prayer, could you please close us with a prayer?
We didn't do the prayer.
We didn't do the prayer.
We did the prayer now.
Of course.
Hello, Stephen?
Yes. Yes.
Who's going to lead? Who'd like to lead the prayer?
Go ahead, Ella, if she wants to.
I'm praying for all the other children, for Alison, for Gabriel to be relieved from this nightmare they're living in, because there are so many children in this. And sometime I remember one incident when Alison's friend came to my house. She was looking into my eyes, and she was asking for something. She was begging for something. For something I did not see. And then later on, Alisa disclosed that this girl name is Millie asked her, my daughter, whether your mom is doing this, Alisa. And Alisa said no. And then Millie suggested to tell me the truth was what's going on in school and what suffering children are going through. But Alisa got scared and reminded her friend, Millie, that they would be killed otherwise. So children were so terrorized, they didn't say. So yes.
Do you have any? Do you have any special prayer you'd like to end with?
I don't know how to do prayer in English. Prayer in Russian. Just
do it in Russian if you wish. But David, why don't you just go ahead and end this with one?
Okay, if you guys don't mind, I will. Our Father in heaven,
sorry,
we come to speak to you.
That's a little bit emotional.
I'm sorry, Ella, go ahead.
She's pretty broken up. And okay. And so I tell you what, if you guys are okay with it, I'll just end us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come beseeching you to help these children and this family to overcome this evil, and we ask that you give us strength, and you give Ella and Abraham strength, and let them know without a doubt that they stand as a testament to all of us, all of mankind, for their bravery and their compassion and their love that they have not only for their children, but for you as our Father. We ask that you help us to bring truth to this situation and justice to this situation so that we may end this not only for Ella's children, but for all of the children who are going through this situation. And you bring down these people who have been so powerful and so evil and so harmful in all of our lives. We ask that you give us without a doubt an indication of the love that you have for us, and you bring us into a time of miracles where we are able to actually expose this and eventually stop this for everyone that's going on. We ask that people who have listened to this interview open their hearts and open their minds and realize we are telling the truth, and this needs to be dealt with, and it is through all of us, God, that we all need to stand together and stop this, because we love children, and we love you, and we do our best to glorify heaven, and we realize that this is the opportunity for all of us to show how we feel. And we say these things beseechingly and lovingly in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, David. I want to thank you once again, Ella Gareva, Abraham Christie, and David Scherter for coming on for this limited time that we have and sharing, just as I mentioned earlier, just scratching the surface of what is going on just in this small affluent area of Britain. We will continue this discussion on another time. I want to thank everybody for coming out to Cancel the Cabal, and this is going to be put on BBS Radio, Revolution Radio, PSN Radio, and PeoplesInternetRadio.com. I hope to have over 100,000 listeners just in 1 week hear this show. Just my audience, and hopefully the recordings will be shared over and over and over and over and over again to go viral, as they call it. But thank you, everyone, for coming on again.
Thank you.
And Ella and Abraham, stay strong and keep faith.
And you,
definitely.
Thanks. Okay.